Hello, Business Central aficionados. Welcome to another episode of A Shot at Business Central and a Beer, your go-to podcast for ERP insights. I'm Michael, one of your hosts, and I'm joined by the one and only Ken.
Absolutely, Michael. In the spirit of Thanksgiving, this episode, number 55, is a condensed edition. We're going to keep it short and sweet today, and also a little turkey friendly.
That's right, Ken. No brews this time, but plenty of sizzling updates from the Business Central world and a quick chat about top five things that we are grateful for.
So whether you're craving a turkey or digging into some pumpkin pie, join us for a rapid roundup of BC news and a dash of tech trends. Let's get into it.
Grab your favorite Thanksgiving beverage, press play, and let's dive into episode 55, because even on a holiday, the world of Business Central keeps on spinning. Ken, tell everybody what you chose for us to drink this week or this month.
We once again have a first. You know, we like to keep it fresh here. And for today, I don't know that this is necessarily my favorite Thanksgiving beverage, as you mentioned in the intro. But we are drinking beer. Today we're going to be drinking root beer.
The ever popular, famous root beer.
Yes. So I thought, you know, what kind of beer haven't we had? And I'm starting to run out of, ideas. So somehow it just popped into my head. Oh, root beer. So we're going to try out a root beer. And one of the interesting things is I'm like, you know, when you start to think about, okay, well, what is root beer really? And I'm like, this has got to be something that's been around forever, right? And it's like, oh, in the 12th century, you know, monks in Europe were, but no. In this case, root beer has really only been around since the 1800s.
Wow.
It's really, so like, what is it? It actually started with like some medicinal type purposes. It was originally made from the root bark of the sassafras tree.
Sassafras.
And also what was really interesting to me is that it seems to be like it's a North American soft drink. So I don't know worldwide I'm guessing the supply chain extends throughout the world these days.
Yeah.
With absolutely. Like Barks root beer, A&W root beer, IBC. There's some like higher end, you know, root beers out there that people enjoy.
I would say, what kind of root beer are you drinking?
Yeah. So I've got a A&W root beer.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah. And it's, it's a soda. So it's kind of similar looking, to a cola. But it is sweet and carbonated, yeah. But most root beers are caffeine free.
That. I did not know that.
Yeah. And also non-alcoholic, most of them. Although I think about 20 years ago, craft breweries started making root beer with alcohol. Have you had one of those before?
I've had Not your dad's root beer, which I think is based out of Illinois, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it's called Not Your Father's Root Beer.
Father's root beer, correct?
Yeah, I think it's either 10 or 10 and a half, maybe even 11% alcohol. So coupled that with the sugar in it. Oh my God. If you have a few of them and you stand up, yeah, it hits you.
I drank Not Your Father's root beer one day and one day only. It knocked me on my ass. I mean, because you're just drinking it. It tastes so good.
It tastes right? Exactly like root beer.
Yeah. Yet, like, yeah, like you said, it's not like 4% or 5%. It's like 10%.
Yeah, it's huge amount of alcohol. And the way they can mask the actual beer flavor is amazing. I mean, in my opinion, it tastes exactly like root beer. I made the mistake. We're at this place where they served, you know, like 500 different beers. So you try a whole bunch of different things. So in between the craft beers I was trying, I was like, oh, I'm going to drink not your father's root beer. So yeah, in between each drink, it got me.
Yep. Yeah. And the other, so the other way that it's made is from the vine of Smilax ornata, which is also known as sarsaparilla. So you may have heard that. Some people may have heard that term. Like someone, you know, walks in and says, give me a sarsaparilla. It's basically like root beer. Although this is little trivia, that ingredient that's in that sarsaparilla was banned by the United States Food and Drug Administration in 1960. Due to its carcinogens in it or whatever. So now most root beers are actually made using artificial flavors.
Which is also known for carcinogens, so it's kind of fun.
Correct, right. Like, yeah, oh, that's way better.
Right, yeah.
And also in the 1800s, it was people drank it hot or warm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe for more of, like you said, the medical effect or whatever. Maybe
yeah.
Like they think tea, right? Like warm tea.
Like, oh, you're sick. I got just the thing for you. How about some soda?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you actually mention that, because when I was growing up, my grandparents always had 7-Up like in the refrigerator, right?
Yeah. Whenever you didn't feel good, your stomach. Yeah.
Whenever you didn't get a cold, it was like drink 7-Up.
Yeah, it was like if you had like a stomach ache or kind of upset stomach, you would have some Sprite or 7-Up or something.
Now, what I couldn't find, and I don't know if you came across it with root beer, I don't know if you've ever noticed this either, but when I pour root beer, it seems to foam more than other soda drinks. Have you noticed that?
I haven't. I haven't paid attention much, though.
Yeah, the foam seems to be more than other soda drinks for some reason, and I always wondered why, and I just couldn't figure it out.
I don't know. Maybe that's what makes it so good for a root beer float.
Yeah, it's true. It's actually it's funny. Root beer floats really just popping milk, right?
Basically, yeah, yeah. So far, I'm enjoying this root beer here, and my mind's gonna be a little sharper throughout the rest of the podcast today.
Well, let's hope so, Ken, because you've been lacking the last couple months now. Oh, all right. What do we got coming up? We got the shot at Business Central we're going to get into, right?
You got it. Let's roll.
All right. So I guess I'll jump in and start out here. So I saw that update 23.1 for Business Central 2023 release wave 2 has come out. It's, you know, one platform, or for hotfix is one platform, 49 application. Bunch of other localizations, but you have some interesting tidbit, or I guess I should say interesting thoughts on why 23.1 has been deployed so quickly.
Yeah. So what I've noticed is that most BC online environments are still running in the production environments are still running 22.5. 23.0 is the new 2023 wave 2 release. And so most of those are still, and we've seen some like kind of delay emails coming out saying, you know, they've kind of postponed some of the updates. And now what we're seeing is environments that are running 22.5 are being upgraded directly to 23.1. So,
which is interesting.
My theory on that is that maybe there were some issues with the 23.0 that they found. And so they decided to basically just postpone for maybe a couple weeks the new wave 2 rollout, and now they're just putting people directly onto 23.1.
Yeah, I mean, and that makes complete sense, right? If they discovered some issues with 23.0, just to fix them real quick and put out 23.1 really fast. Although I know a few people who have installed 23.0 in the sandboxes. I think you're one of them. Did you notice any issues with it when you installed it in the sandbox?
Nope, I did not. No.
Yeah, so hopefully it's not a problem for the masses, or wasn't a problem for the masses, and only maybe to a select few. But
but
yeah. And just, you know, if you are, you know, concerned about this major release coming out, my suggestion would be to go into the Business Central Admin Center and in your production environment, you should be able to go in and set a date for when it will apply that 23.1 update. And just push that out a couple of weeks, maybe into even into December, to kind of let some of these environments get this major release rolled out. And I think, you know, that shouldn't really be a problem. That way you don't just come in on a random Tuesday and your environment's updated. You know, you can schedule it on a Saturday or a Sunday, a non-working day or evening.
Yeah, allow Microsoft to maybe get some of those bugs worked out if there are any. And then before you would put in your production environment.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right. Moving right along. Oh, so last week, I think, the Directions EMEA concert. You can tell I'm very excited about it, right? So the Directions EMEA partner community event was held. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, beginning of November. About 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, a lot of information, a lot of AI stuff as usual, but some interesting Business Central updates, things that, you know, we can't really speak to because we don't know too much about it. But what I can say is what I saw from there was they have a 2024 release wave one teaser that they presented at Directions EMEA. And just to go through it really quickly. So for reporting, you're going to get more out of the box reports, improved Report Explorer. Developers can create analysis views. There's going to be an analysis model peak and sustainability journals. And then there's going to be, for the supply chain, you're going to see some field service integration, which is, you know, people have been asking for a long time. And then even more on the AI side. So you're going to have bank reconciliation assist. You're going to be able to chat with Copilot while in Business Central, hopefully. And then there's going to be developer tools for Copilot. So another strong push for AI with Business Central, which, you know, that's what I've been waiting for. I don't know if you have been, Ken, but it's kind of what I've been waiting for.
Yeah, no, I think adding more Copilot features into Business Central is great. I mean, the more they're, you know, we're at the forefront of what Copilot can do, and the more efficient users can be, that's great. And I think some of the let's like chat, like Copilot chat in Business Central, which may improve search or navigation and some other stuff. So pretty exciting.
Yeah, and I think with the Copilot chat, they've got a new Copilot platform launching, and what you're going to be able to do is, so Microsoft has actually said at this community event that, you know, your information is your information. Copilot does not use your information to populate its answers or, you know, do whatever it does behind the scenes, which is a really good thing for people. But what they're going to allow you to do is feed information into your company Copilot so that you can create, they call them GTPs, where you can create GTPs for your individual business, where you can actually ask it questions about, you know, budgeting, reporting, numbers, whatever it may be, as long as you gave it that information. So it's pretty interesting.
Yep.
Pretty interesting. All right, let's see what else we got here. So Microsoft 365 integration, you're going to get improved discoverability and usability with AI. There's going to be more countries for Business Central added for the geographic expansion. For the user experience, you're talking about adding a field. Not really sure what that means. I don't know if Ken, if you heard anything about that.
I've not. I wonder if that means that through the user experience, people will be able to create new fields in the database.
Could be.
Or I assume that doesn't mean just add a field that exists onto a page. That sounds to me more like you're going to be able to add new fields.
Interesting.
Know, onto a customer, onto an item or whatever.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. All right, you're going to be able to drag and drop multiple files. Obviously, there's going to be more integration with the Power Platform, Power BI dashboards for core ERP, things like that. So for development, they said that there's going to be drag and drop API for AL. I'm not a developer, but I think that might be kind of huge for a lot of developers to make their life a little bit easier. Let's see, administration, more granular access to environments, advanced data privacy, and then there's going to be auditing in Microsoft 365.
Yeah. So, to me, I you know, just been listening, the Copilot stuff we just discussed pretty briefly there. Exciting. Yeah. For me, though, the thing that caught my eye the most is Power BI dashboards for core ERP. So yeah. What that means is that, you know, Power BI is already embedded in Business Central, but they're the actual reports and dashboards that they include out of the box aren't every, you know,
up to BC standards.
Yeah. Thank you. So I think, you know, this seems exciting to me. If they're like going to create like a customer dashboard report or inventory focus thing, or for purchasing, like that you're going to kind of get some out of the box pre-built reports and dashboards, where right out of the gate, people are going to have huge advantages in terms of visibility and analytics, without having to build it themselves every time.
That should make people's lives a lot easier. All right. So anything you want to talk about with Directions EMA before I got some other few other things?
I do. Yeah. So, I'll drop in a few. Yeah. We can kind of bounce back and forth here. One of the things is a kind of a quick one, for anyone who, any like what we'll call legacy Dynamics, you know, on-premise customers out there, and you're looking to move to Business Central Online, there's currently a promotion called Bridge to the Cloud 2 that offers discounts. So you can take your on-premise enhancement plan and convert it into discounted, Business Central subscription users, right? They announced that they're effectively continuing this promo. It's a new promo, but it basically replaces the expiring Bridge to the Cloud 2 promo. So, going into 2024, people who are maybe next year decide to move to BC Online, they're still going to get that promo discount.
Yeah. I wonder if, cause I think the original Bridge to the Cloud promo had a higher discount than the Bridge to the Cloud promo 2. So I wonder if the next one might even drop that discount down a little bit further.
Oh, Michael.
You know?
Yeah, could be. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, hate to be the bad guy.
Yep.
All right.
And I got, one more kind of a new announcement. I don't know if this is necessarily, I think it was released or announced there. Is the for Microsoft partners, the old gold and silver partner programs, all right, are going away, and there's this new like partner solution designation program where you're like, and there's like eight different solution designations that you can get. Well, one of them is called business applications. And this is clearly the one of the eight where, you know, Business Central focused partners fall, right? So unfortunately, there currently is no really viable path for a BC focused partner to achieve the business application solution designation. Just because of the requirements, you have to pass exams that are not Business Central exams.
Yeah. Shocking.
Yeah, so they're announced in 2024, there will be a new path for Business Central partners to obtain that Business Central business applications solution designation. And what they're doing is they're going to take the existing Business Central consultant certification, add a new one for a Business Central developer certification. And when you have people that achieve both of those, then you earn the advanced certification.
Nice.
So we'll start.
Yeah, I think a lot of Business Central partners are going to be happy about that.
Yep. Yeah, and I think, you know, it will allow Business Central partners to actually differentiate themselves in a meaningful way with other Microsoft partners who may just be selling Microsoft 365 licenses or or Azure services or something, but not know anything about Business Central. So this will be a way to for users and just people in general to have a much better, clearer understanding that, oh, this is a Microsoft partner that focuses on the Dynamics, you know, business applications, specifically Business Central.
Yeah, I think you mentioned in the past that currently, like, Business Central partners would have to take an exam, maybe about F&O or whatnot, that where it's really not related to Business Central. And that you know, if you have a Business Central specific partner, they don't deal with F&O. That's not really fair, right?
Right. Yep. So better late than never, but they've got it. It looks like they've got a plan for it. And, you know, 2024 will be here before we know it.
Absolutely. All right. I want to share a few other things about the Directions EMEA community event. So Business Central by the numbers. I thought this was interesting. Global, 99.98% service uptime in the last quarter. No surprise there, I guess, right? I mean, I guess I'm surprised that the 99.98%, I think it dropped from 99.99% before. That's kind of shocking. You really don't hear too many things about a widespread outage with Business Central.
No.
All right. So also, 172% ROI over 3 years, I guess, is the average for the new Business Central user. The ROI has always been high compared to other ERP software platforms. So 172% is I would say is decent. Would you agree, Ken, over 3 years?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you've implemented a new ERP solution, any ERP solution, you know that it's a pretty significant undertaking.
Right.
So in that first year, right, there's a lot of expense that goes into getting a new system up and running and deployed throughout the organization. So year one, that, you know, I don't want to say it's a negative ROI, but it's break even at best. And right. Then, you know, in years two and three, you know, you really start to see organizations thrive because of all the new technology that they're able to leverage.
Yeah. They also said that over the same period of time, the company's experienced on average $71,000 in savings and an 18% increase in productivity on average, which might not sound like a lot to some people, but, you know, ERP systems of the past haven't been too shabby, right? If you're coming from Nav to Business Central, you know, and you switch and to get an 18% increase in productivity, that's pretty good in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about it this way. If you have a team of five people, right, you pretty much can get the same level of work done now with four. Right. Or you can grow 20% without having to add another resource.
Yeah. And that's huge for businesses.
Yeah.
All right. So that's my Directions EMEA update. Anything else you got there for the shot, Ken?
Yeah, I think that's about it for the news and the updates for me.
All right, you want to tell them what we got next? The new one of the newer segments we've been doing lately.
Are we doing our top five?
Doing top fives, right?
Top five segment. Yeah, let's get into it. We have a special seasonal top five. We just introduced this segment last month, where Michael and I each put together a top five list, and it can be anything. But this month, with Thanksgiving in the United States here coming up quickly here, we have a top five things I'm thankful for. I believe you also did the same.
I did. Yeah. You want to jump in first? Or would you prefer me to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
All right.
I am thankful this year for all of our podcast fans and the BC user community. It gets bigger and better every year. So thank you.
You want me to take next one, or are we going back and forth? All right. So I kept mine kind of Microsoft Business Central themed and staying within that world. So my first one, these are in no particular order. But so first I've got here technology. It's because of this that, you know, we get to do what we do at Solution Systems. And it's also because of this that we get to venture out into fun things like this podcast. Lately, over the past however many years, 10, 15 years, I also think it makes learning new things and inquiring, you know, breaking news, especially breaking Business Central news, a lot quicker than it would have been back in the good old Morse code days. So technology is one for me.
Yeah, technology. Can't beat that. So next, I've got, I am thankful for Microsoft for continuing to deliver value to Business Central users and providing a super compelling product that I'm pretty sure is blowing away the competition over the last couple of years.
Yeah, with its growth and all the numbers. And yeah, it's definitely blowing away the competition. All right, my next one is the written word. I believe this to be mankind's greatest achievement. I also believe this is the backbone to evolutionary learning. So, you know, Navision became Nav, which became BC because Microsoft and others documented processes and workflows and problems and solutions, which allowed people to create a better ERP software. And now we are fully immersed in the world of Business Central. So I'm giving it up to the written word.
All right. Wow. That's grandiose compared to my next one, which is, as a Chicago sports fan, I am thankful that the baseball season has ended. And I am also thankful that the football season will soon be ending. So we can begin to look forward to championship seasons in 2024.
Yeah, I don't know if I should say, I mean, begin to look forward to, I guess we could begin to look forward to, but I don't see it in the near future. But that's a topic for another day, probably. Yeah. All right. So my next one, Ken, you're probably not going to agree with, but here we go. I am thankful for AI. I think AI is the next big thing and probably the biggest future revenue earner for Microsoft. I think that it's going to transform Business Central, ERP, and a whole bunch of other things. I think it's going to create some problems too, but I think over the long run, Americans and or not just Americans, people, mankind, we're going to get it worked out. And, you know, we're going to see some huge benefits from it.
Yep, for sure. Yep. My number four for me, I am thankful for Michael and all of the people I get to work with on a regular basis. Having a great community and a great team really does make work seem a lot less like work on a daily basis. So,
yeah, couldn't agree more with you. So my next one is also people. You know, I get to work with and learn from Ken and interact with so many other people at SSI and learn things and, you know, the BC world and all the ISV people. It's always fun and a pleasure and interesting to connect with people and have different learning experiences. So yeah, I'm going to agree with you 100% and throw that in there. I am happy for the people as well. Thankful for the people as well. Yeah.
And my last thing that I put on my list, and I'm not sure if anyone is really going to be surprised, or if you've been listening to the podcast, maybe you shouldn't be surprised, but my last thing on my list is beer.
So. Don't need to elaborate on it, right?
No, one word, one word, baby.
Just beer. Yeah, so I guess my last one would be, I had alcohol written down, but I'm going to go a little bit different. I'm going to go with, let's go with Satya Nadella. I'm thankful that, I think he is the right person at the right time to take Microsoft to that next level. So I wasn't too big of a fan of, what was his name, Bill Ballmer, I think you say it, the guy who owns the Clippers.
Yeah, Ballmer, Steve Ballmer.
Yeah, yeah, I like him, but I just think he was the wrong guy at the wrong time. So I think Satya Nadella is going to bring Microsoft to new heights. He's going to increase that stock price for all the people who own stocks.
Well, with the Microsoft. You know, but you know, I'm pretty sure Steve Ballmer is still one of the largest shareholders of Microsoft stock. So he's been one of Satya's large biggest cheerleaders.
Yeah. So he has. I think he's a good number two. I don't think he's a number one, but I don't know the guy. I mean, I know Bill Gates pegged him to be the number one. And like you're saying, I know that because of his stocks, whatever, he's one of the richest people in the world, plus the Clippers. I think he's, I don't know if he's top seven for richest people in the world, something like that. But he's definitely up there. But I think what sets apart Satya from the others is his vision. I'll be the first one to admit, when he was pushing Cloud 5-6 years ago, I was like, oh my God, come on. Cloud, all the problems, you got to rely on somebody else. But his vision was like, nope, that's the way to go. So with AI, I think he's going to bring it to new levels.
Yep, definitely. Yep. All right. And I think last but not leastly here, we want to take a look ahead.
Absolutely.
At what we've got coming up next month and beyond. So next month in December, we are going to have a special guest with us, Mr. Jim Geo from Triangle Package Machinery, returning again for our annual, what has now become our traditional annual holiday special. Jim first joined us in December of 2019. Was back in December of 21 and 22. And, I think if you tune in next month, everyone will get to hear about their progress that they made in Business Central in 2023 and their plans extending into next year, 2024.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. It's always fun when Jim comes on the podcast. It's become a really good tradition. And you know what else makes it really good? I mean, for the listeners, it's very informative because he's going through a Business Central journey that is quite amazing, right? Coming from a green screen legacy, terrible system to Nav, to Business Central, you know, on premise to Business Central, and they hosted in the cloud. I mean, they're multi or single tenant now, right?
Yep. So
full tenant.
Yeah, and you can kind of get the full history and story. You can go back and listen to those previous December podcasts and kind of hear some of what's gone from year to year.
Yeah, we'll put together a mashup, definitely. And then so in January, for the January podcast, I get the privilege of interviewing somebody who wrote a book in 2007 titled The Executive Guide to Implementing Accounting Software. Over 100 ways to ensure the success of your project. I'm not sure who authored that book. Ken, you got any ideas?
Who's that? Who's that? who wrote that book?
Just some guy who's in the BC world, I guess.
Can I get it on Amazon?
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon, actually.
All right.
We'll put a link to it in the show notes for sure. So, but yeah. So Ken, if you haven't figured it out, Ken is the author of that book, and I get I'm going to go through the book, write down some questions, ask him, and try to put Ken through the ringer, put him through the test, so to speak, and see what he comes up with for answers to my hard questions.
Yeah, you know what? It's really interesting. I wrote this back basically just taking a lot of concepts and principles that I used and we used to kind of implement Dynamics NAV at the time and now Business Central, and just to kind of highlight some key things that you can do or avoid to make sure that your implementation project goes successfully. And I'm kind of curious to just see that was 16 years ago, right? So What's changed? What things are like funny? Like, because I was referencing maybe some, old technology or something that's no longer relevant, or what am I missing now that we're in this cloud world that maybe should be in there? So my guess is most of the things are going to be still relevant.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was going to say. I was like, I'm sure that most things are probably still relevant.
Yeah.
So it's going
to
be
except that one tip to make sure to always keep your Palm Pilots charged.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great 2007 Palm Pilot. Yeah, it's about that time.
or your Blackberry, you know. But yeah, no, awesome. It should be fun. I mean, and the point is, you know, we want to focus on really implementations, right? Business Central. We know that implement, you know, choosing the right ERP software solution is maybe half the battle, right? The other half the battle is getting it implemented, getting it deployed throughout the organization successfully. And, you know, if the best software ever possibly ever created, right? If you don't have a plan and a process to get it put in place, right? It's not going to make it. So
it fails. Yeah.
So we're going to kind of be talking about that and just focusing on key things that, you know, you can do or avoid when implementing new software.
Yeah.
Should be interesting. Should be fun. And I'm telling you right now, though, I'm going to come at you with some hard questions.
I expect nothing but that.
This bring is back the old Stump Ken segment.
Yeah, like who's the TV interviewers who are the really asking Gordon Downey Jr. Yeah, asking those really tough questions. You're the Barbara Walters of Microsoft community here.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. Well, I think that's about it for this podcast. Got anything else you want to add to before we start to wrap up?
Just one last note. I think it's worth mentioning to everyone that according to, I forget the source you had there, but, you know, thank you to all the listeners. We're the number one Business Central podcast in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And top 10 of all Microsoft podcasts out there. So.
Oh, yeah. I remember the thing I sent over. Yeah, that's right. That's pretty good. Yeah. So thank all the listeners. We truly appreciate that. Also, I guess before we wrap up, too, we want to say that, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up and whatnot. So we want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Stay safe, eat a bunch of food, relax, enjoy yourselves. And with that, I guess, Ken, you want to take us home?
Gobble, gobble.
As we end today's podcast, we want to give a big thank you to everyone who listens, shares this podcast, and leaves us reviews. You've taken a good amount of your time out of your day, and we truly appreciate it. Thanks again. And don't be afraid to email us at marketing@solsyst.com with your tips for the podcast, or maybe you'd even like to be a guest during an episode.